so it's Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to start with verse 12. One day soon after Jesus went to a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night, at daybreak he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names, and he goes down the list of names. But I'm just going to kind of just take chunks of this word and just bring some things out that I felt like the Lord was showing me. And when it said at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Well, disciples are learners, right? And apostles are sent ones or ambassadors. And so they represent the kingdom. And so he picked these 12 disciples to be the apostles. And like us, we start off as disciples and we're always learning from the Lord. I mean, there's never, you know, we never stop being disciples, but then there's even more where we're released to represent the kingdom. And it can be even when we're a baby Christian. You don't have to be a mature Christian to do the works of Christ. You just have to know that you can do it because his word says so. And so that just really kind of popped out at me that, you know, we can either stay being a learner and forever learning the word. And yeah, you know, that's good. But, you know, God's never going to use me that way. Or we could go from being just a learner to being a doer and being allowing God to send us out and represent his kingdom. Because he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, which means the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. You know, the word of God says that greater works will we do than he did, Jesus. And so he's already told us that we can do these things. But what we have to ask for is, God, help us to believe that. And even if you don't believe it because he said it, step out in it. Just step out and do it. Because eventually, this and this is going to line up, and God is going to start working through you. He will surprise you. And so I just wanted to bring that out. And of course, the other thing was in that verse, just the fact that he went up to the mountain and prayed all night. You know, Jesus is our example, and when we release people into things, it's so important for us to make sure we hear of God first, because, you know, because some people get released into things that shouldn't be released. And sometimes I think it's because of lack of prayer, because it's not that God doesn't want to speak to us, but all night long, how many times have some of us, you know, stayed up all night long just to seek God and just be with him? So I just wanted to throw that in there. So when they came down the slopes of the mountain, and the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds, there were people from all over Judah and from Jerusalem and from the far north as the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. Then they had come to hear him and to be healed, and Jesus cast out many evil spirits. Everyone was trying to touch him because healing power went out from him, and they were all cured. Then Jesus, he turns to his disciples and he says these things to them. God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is given to you. To be poor in spirit. What does that mean, to be poor in spirit? What he's saying is, those who know that God is their spiritual source. God is their spiritual source. They depend on God for this to supply their needs. They know their need for God. He's talking to his disciples. He is not talking to somebody who doesn't know him. He's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, you know, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He's saying, listen, blessed are you because you know you need me. You need me. You still need me. You know, we're never not in need of God. And I think the closer we get to God, or should I say, the more that we know God, not know him in our head, but know him in our heart. The more that we know God, the more we know that we really need him. Like, we really do, even more. we come to a place where we realize that how, and not self-loathing, because I have more confidence in God in me than I do in me. You know what I mean? I don't say, oh, woe is me. I'm just like this, you know, bad person and everything. But I am aware of my sin, I'll tell you that. And I am aware that without Jesus, that I am not going to do any good thing worth anything for God without him. And so blessed are the poor. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed who you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the things of God. Blessed are you. Hunger for the things of God. Be hungry. And Pastor Shannon, you know, said this morning, the more that you spend with God, it's not a have to, it's you desire it. You long to be there. Your heart aches when you've gone a long time, you know, when it's been a while. Your heart aches for him. More than that, his heart is aching for you. So John 15:4 says, remain in me and I remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Poor in spirit, knowing that that's, you know, I've got to stay connected to God or I'm not going to bring any good fruit in my life. I'm going to bring a lot of bad fruit, but I'm not going to bring anything good. Blessed you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Have you ever spent time with the Lord and just wept over your sin or wept over your city or your friends or this nation? And you have really wept about that? And then you get filled with such joy after that? You just want to get up and dance. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you that are seeking me. Blessed are you, the ones that are taking the time to hear my heart. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revel you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You're living for God. Blessed are you when people don't like you, in church and out of the church. If you're truly walking in love, that's the key. If you're walking in love and that's your goal, to love God and love people, and you're walking in that and you're seeking God and you're spending time with God and people are talking about you because they don't understand. They don't understand. Blessed are you. It's not you anyway. They're not rejecting you. They are rejecting Christ in you. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. It's hard to do this sometimes when you're being persecuted. But you know, when we can just get before God and say, yeah, I'm hurting right now. He will correct us and he will say, it's not you, it's me. You know, or he might correct you because maybe you are doing something wrong, you know, where people, you know, that's just the way it is. Okay, so, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Nobody liked the prophets. Nobody wanted to hear truth. Still today, people don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Test the spirit. If the spirit behind the preaching and the teaching is telling you to go after God and pray and seek his face, and he loves you so much and he wants to romance you and he wants to draw you to himself, that's a good spirit. That Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King, that's good. We want to go after those people. We want to follow those kind of leaders that are going after God. But he says, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. You know, woe to you who think that you're just, you got it all, you got it all together, and you don't need God, you know, you don't need to seek him, you know, you got it, you got this thing. We don't have this thing, I'm telling you, none of us have this thing. We need more of God, we need to know more of his ways, and, you know, we just need to know him. We don't got this thing. We are not rich. We are, you know, we're rich, but we're not rich. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. You think you got enough. You think you got enough of God? You don't. You don't have enough. None of us have enough. For you shall hunger. There will be a time when you will begin to hunger for God. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Hey, I'm happy now. I'm good with my life. You hear that even with the loss. But he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. This is a sorry state. This is a state that he doesn't want us in. You know, where we think it's all good and we're joy. You have the joy of the Lord when you're walking in the will of God and you're hearing from him and you're doing his will and all those things and you're spending time with him. There's just a natural joy that comes. But he's talking about laughing in the world and being part of the world and being of the things of the world. And that's what's bringing you joy. That's what he's talking about. You go ahead, you laugh now, because you know what? There's going to be a time when you shall mourn and you shall weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to false prophets. We can't be a Christian and want to please everybody. We have to be a Christian who does what God tells us to do. And I know I throw this in all the time, and it's just because it's so important to God. If you think that you're doing something for God and you are not submissive to your authority in the church or in your jobs or at school, then you're in error and it is not of God, because he will not tell you to do that. He will not tell you to step out from underneath your authority. And we saw that this morning in Sunday school with David and Saul. He will never tell you to do something that you know that your authority that he has placed on this earth has told you not to do, or you know they don't want you to do. If I want to do something in this church, I always go to my pastors and ask them first. I never take my own authority. I always get permission from them. If I want to do something, I always go to them first. I don't just do something. Because they're responsible for what happens in this place. They're the ones who have to stand before God, not me. And if they tell me no, it's no. I'm like, all right, I'm not responsible. I'm only, you know, if I ask something and they tell me no, it's no. Authority is so important. If we cannot be submissive to authorities on the earth, we cannot say that we're submissive to the Almighty God, because he says he's the one who set up the authority. It says that in his word. Okay, so moving on. 27 says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Jesus is telling us to love. He didn't leave this for us to figure out. He's saying, love your enemies. Now the world's like, no, they did this to you. And even, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, all that stuff. You know, it's like, no, no, no. They did this to you. You've got the right. You've got the right. No, you don't have a right, okay? God has the right, but we don't have the right. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. He's saying, listen, here's the way, okay? I'm telling you not to love your enemies, but now I'm going to tell you how to do that, okay? How do we do that? Bless those who curse you. What? You mean somebody who's mean to me? And is cursing me and going behind my back and speaking about me or making me look bad on my job or, you know, just demeaning me? What, I'm supposed to bless them? I'm supposed to bless them? Yeah, that's what God says. And he says, and pray for those who spitefully use you. You mean I'm supposed to be a doormat? You know what? The world says you're not supposed to be a doormat. But what does God's word say? We've got to listen to what God's word says. It is not comfortable to walk the word of God out in our lives. It is not. But you know what? God empowers us. He empowers us to do it. And I'll go into detail down. I'm trying to stick with my notes so I don't go over time. So Proverbs 25:21 says, if your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. This is Old Testament. You will heap burning coals on their heads and the Lord will reward you. You know, if that's our heart And we, you know, it's all about our heart. If our heart is, well, I'm gonna just bless them. I'm just gonna bless them because you know what? I'm just gonna heap those coals. I've been there. I thought that. And you know what? That's not it. I got corrected. That's not it. It's not about heaping coals on their heads. It's not about that. But some stubborn and rebellious people are like that, you know, and what he's saying is it will happen, you know, if they're in that place, in a bad place, and you're just trying to bless them and they're still coming after you and they're still doing things and saying things and things, then this is what it's like, because they have nothing to say against you for real, because you're walking my love out. In Romans, I'm going to go back to Romans, 12:20 says, indeed, do what the scriptures say. Indeed, do what the scriptures say. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, and they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. Because they can't really say anything bad about you. If you're still treating them the way you should be treating them, they can't say anything. They can, but it's not true. I love that scripture, the truth, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Think about when people are coming up against you, what the truth is. And you speak that into your life and say, no, this is the truth about the situation. This is the truth. And that truth will set you free. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. Okay, so Jesus is not talking about a physical assault here. Back in the day, I always go back in the day, he was talking about people that mistreat us and coerce us and manipulate us. And what he's saying, don't defend yourself or retaliate, because back in the day, it was an insult, a slap in the face. You ever hear that? Yes. You know, you just slapped me in the face. You just insulted me. That's what he's talking about. You know, he doesn't want you to get physically abused. You know what I mean? That's why we have the military. He allows that. He had the military too. So it's not that. It's not saying, you know, just let somebody beat you up to the ground to the pulp. He's not telling you that. What he's saying is, you know, when people are insulting you and ridiculing you and stuff, well, you just turn the other cheek and just let them do it. Zip your lip like Jesus did. He said nothing. So, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Cloak being like a coat, and the tunic being your shirt. Okay, so yeah, okay, so you want, here, take this too. Take it. You know, material things, just take it. It's just material things. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. You know, realize who is our provider. Jesus is our provider. And every good and perfect thing comes from heaven above, right? And when we really know that Jesus is our provider, it's so easy just to give things away. It's so easy. Because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Jesus. And B, you know, he always rewards that. I've seen that. And we don't do it to get the rewards. But that's just who he is. He's just God like that. He loves to lavish on his people, but when he's lavishing on us, he wants us to do that to others. You know, we really have to believe that God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He will provide for all our needs. There is a balance. If given them what they want, you always have to be prayerful, because sometimes when we give people what they want, it might hurt them. You know, they might be asking for something that might just hurt them. And we can't do that. You know, sometimes our kids want to do things that we can't let them do because we know it's going to harm them. Well, the same thing in that too. Even material things. Maybe, you know, like missionaries. Here's a thing with missionaries. They go to these other countries, and for years they were just doing and giving and giving. And they realized that was being harmful to the people. Because what was happening was the people became dependent on the missionaries to do everything. And so they finally figured that out. And so now what the missionaries are going in and they're training people in the country to be able to survive, to be able to plant, to, you know, to have a job. You know, they're training them up so that they can do for themselves. But by giving, giving, giving all the time, you know, that the people became dependent and they weren't even trying. And so that's, you know, so sometimes giving might be harmful to that person. Or sometimes somebody, you know, they need money, you know, like a homeless person, but the Holy Spirit has spoke to you and said, they're going to use that for meth. Well, you don't give them the money. Don't give them money. Buy them a cup of coffee or something, but don't give them any money. You know, that wisdom. We just need to ask God for wisdom. We cannot allow our pride or lack of comfort or just being unwilling to stop us from being given, for reaching out. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Think about how you want people to treat you. If you're in error, man, when I was unsaved and Christians treated me bad, I mean, that just, you know, I was like, oh, you know. And I try to think, maybe sometimes overthink because I am, you know, one of those people, but I try to think of how it's going to affect that person. Like, I actually, if we begin to put ourselves in that person's place and say, Lord, you know, how do you want me to handle this? Or, you know, think about how you would want them to treat you. If it were you, how would you want to be treated? If they did to you what you were doing to them, would you like it? Would you like that? You know, we have to think about that. If I were them and I was, and they, you know, if it was turned around, how would I feel? You know, there's a lot of thinking going on, and, you know, God's like, you know, opposite world, opposite, opposite, opposite. So, but if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. We do that. We are naturally inclined to be nice to people that are nice to us. But we are not naturally inclined to be nice to people that are mean to us. We're not. And sometimes you just want to be nice to people and they totally reject you all the time. But you never stop. You see that open door, you just go through it. I mean, even if it's just a little crack, you're like, okay, I'm going in, you know. Don't ever reject. Just if there's any little thing, just do it. You know, even the hottest of hottest people. God can melt a heart. He can. I have seen him do it over and over again. And I have said that with, you know, Mike over the years. He's known the places that God has placed me in. And he's like, Lori, I just don't understand why God places you around the meanest people ever. And I'm like, he's teaching me something. I just know it, you know. But I can preach it because I've walked it. And I've done it the wrong way and I've done it the right way, you know. And the right way is letting God deal with it and do what his word's telling me to do. And get on my face before God and say, help me to love that person and help me to see as you see. So 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. It doesn't matter. When we lend, just have the mentality. Have the mentality when you lend that you're not getting it back. You're not getting it back. That way, if you do get it back, you're like, well, praise God. What a blessing. You know? If you don't get it back, it's okay. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't mean they don't have to be thankful. They don't even have to speak to you again. One day the Lord spoke to me and he told me to give my whole paycheck away right before Christmas. And it was my last full-time paycheck. And he said, I want you to give it to that lady right there. And it was a lady at the register. And And of course, you know, I'm under authority of my husband. So I went to my husband and I asked him if it was okay if I gave my paycheck away. I had already put it in the bank, so I had to go to the bank. I had to get it, you know, and all that. And so I asked Mike, I said, honey, I feel like God's asked me to do this, but, you know, what do you think? And he's like, if he's telling you to do it, you do it. So I went to the bank and I got the money out and I put in the envelope and I just handed it to her. And she just took it, and I just said, you know, God just wants to bless you, and just take it. And she's looking at me like, you are a weird lady, because she could feel it was the bank envelope. She knew it was from the bank. She knew there was some money in there. And she just walked away, and for like a whole month, it was the grocery store that, you know, you're on an island in Ketchikan. It's the grocery store, you know. And so I go to the grocery store all the time, and that lady would dodge me every single time. And I'm like, I don't know what I did. I just gave her money. What's going on, you know? But I was like, okay, this is weird. And then one day she finally came up to me and she told me, we just don't know what's going on in people's heads or in their lives or in their heart. But she had told me that when I gave her that money, for one thing, she was a little freaked out because she thought I was giving her the money and then hook her in because I'm a Christian. And yeah, I gave you the money, now come to church, you know, but I never would do that. And anyway, so she came up, she told me, she said, you know, when you gave me that money, she said, I know that you didn't know this, but my husband got arrested and got thrown in jail. And I did not have money for rent this month, and I was going to get kicked out if I didn't come up with the money. And that was the exact amount for my rent. I could have held on to that, you know? And you know what happened after that? Here's God. Here is God. Should I? Maybe I'll wait on that. I'll wait on that because it goes with something else. Okay, so the Jewish people of Jesus' day hated their political enemies, the Romans, and looked forward for the kingdom to come and destroy them. They were just like, you know what? I don't even like these Roman people. That's why they had the attitude, you know. That's why he's saying, they don't like them. And so, but Jesus says, love your enemies and do good for them. We have victory when our enemies become our friends. That's the greatest victory in the world. When your worst enemy all of a sudden turns out to be your friend. And I've had that happen to me. And it is so weird because you're looking like, what just happened? Like, they like me. You know, it's weird. It's just weird when that happens. But God can do anything. He's just amazing. I did want to share something that happened. Because, you know, we see people so differently. And we were, some of us ladies, Miss Christie had invited us all out for dinner at a restaurant. Some of us ladies went. And so anyway, we were sitting around the table and this man came up. And he's like, I don't even know why he came to our table. That was kind of weird. But he came to our table and he's like, I just, you know, somebody had paid for his dinner. And he thought it was one of us. And so he's like, who paid for my dinner, you know? And I just, you know, that was nice or whatever he said, you know? Come to find out the guy wasn't very well liked in this community. I guess he was not, but you know what? God loves him. And God placed it on somebody's heart to bless that man. Because he loves him. It doesn't matter what everybody else sees. It doesn't matter how grumpy he is or anything about him. God loved him enough that he wanted to show his love to that man. And that's what God wants us to do. Okay, so now I'm going to share about the rural compassion meeting that I got to go to. Pastor Shannon and Pastor Rick let me go. And so I went there and they had all kinds of testimonies. But the one thing that really stood out is, you know, how many times as Christians we do take care of the poor and all that. But how many times do we go alongside politicians like City Hall, superintendents of schools? You know, those key leaders, the fire department, the police department, these key places in the community, we are the first ones to pick up a phone and complain to them when something's going wrong. But are we the first ones to bless them? Are we as a church pouring into their lives and saying, hey, we love you. We love this community as much as you love this community. And we want to partner with you to bless our community. What can we do for you? I thought, wow, that's what a concept. What a concept. You know what I have found when you do that? And now I worked in the schools, so when you do that, when you begin to build relationships with people, you do not have to agree with them. You don't have to agree what they believe in. You just got to love them and say, you know what? Let's put our disagreements aside, and we love our community, and we love these people, and we want them to succeed, and we want to help you, and we want to bless you. How can we bless you? How can we come alongside you, and how can we help the people of our community? And that's the whole idea behind rural compassion, is to reach the leaders of our community, to partner with them as a church. And I thought, wow, that's a cool idea. Because when you begin to do that and to bless those people and to come alongside them and say, hey, I'm not fighting against you, I'm with you. Then when you disagree on something, they are more apt to receive from you because you have built that relationship and they know that you love them and you love the community. But if the only time that these people ever hear from us as a church is when we're complaining about what they're doing, they hear that all day long from the world. I'm telling you, they do. I worked in a school. Praise God, I was not a teacher or an administrator. I was a para. So it was really good for me. I didn't get any of that stuff. But I heard what the teachers went through and the phone calls and the principal and the administrators. But it was very rare, boy, when those people came alongside the teachers and they started blessing them with a meal or however and coming to the principal and, you know, blessing them and stuff. It changes the atmosphere. We have to love as God loves. We have to put those things aside and love as God loves. Okay, so stop judging others and you will not be judged. We are called, okay, that's, I'm glad I put this in my notes. We are called to love unconditionally, but that doesn't mean unconditional approval. We can love people, but we don't have to approve of what they're doing. But we can love them. How can we do that? Ask God. Seriously, that's the only way. You know, ask God to share his heart with you for those people. He will. He wants us to walk in his love. He did. Look at all the people he went after and all that he went through and everything, but he still loved them. For God, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stop criticizing others or it will come back on you. You know, if that's all, if you're always criticizing somebody and just always condemning them, it's going to come right back on you. We see the fruit, but God sees the root. And he does say, and that's later on, it does say, you know, judge by the fruit. But God sees the root of the fruit. He sees the motives. He sees the inner man. We cannot judge that. We don't know people's motives. We see the fruit, whether good or bad, but we don't know the motives behind it. You know, people can be nice and they can smile and they can act like they're doing really nice things, but their motives in their heart are wicked. And then people can be mean. Why? Maybe they're hurting. Who knows what they've been through? God does. Only God does. It is easy to judge the fruit, but judging the heart is up to God. If you forgive others, you will be forgiven, and we know that. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you. This is it. This is the other part of this testimony, because I love this part. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, I'm using New Living Translation, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Jesus does not tell us not to judge others. He wants our judgments to be fear. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about money. He's talking about right before he says, if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. And we know God says, you know, that he is not going to forgive us if we don't forgive other people. So if we have unforgiveness in our heart, then he is not going to forgive us. Right? I mean, that's what it says. But if we can extend the forgiveness, if we can extend mercy, extend those things to people, it says here, it's going to come back to us. If you give, you will receive. If you give forgiveness, you're going to receive forgiveness. That's what it says in the word, you know. God says he will forgive us. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, more blessing, more blessing. Blessing is not material. Blessing is spiritual blessings. It's a spiritual. Forget the material stuff. Just get rid of it. If that's what's holding you back, and just go after God and the things of God, and do what his word's saying, and do what he's saying, and say, you know, give mercy, give forgiveness, give, you know, give my love, extend my hand to others. I am given to you, so you need to give to others. Don't hold it back. Because if you do, it will make room for more and running over. You will be bubbling over in the joy of God, in the things of God. He's saying, get rid of that junk, clean house, make room. Whatever measure you use and given, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. I don't want to hold back forgiveness because I don't want that to be held back from me. Because I need forgiveness every day. Sometimes lots of times a day. I don't want to hold that back because I need it. I need forgiveness. I need mercy. I need love. I'm a very needy person. I really am. I lost my spot. Okay. A lot of times our judgments are wrong because we are being hypocritical. He's asking us not to judge others. He wants our judgments to be fair. You know, we're so quick. Well, that's all in the scriptures too, but I'll just go on. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. What good is it for one blind person to lead another? The first one will fall into a ditch and put the other down also. A student is not greater than the teacher, but the student who works hard will become like the teacher. Become like Jesus and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Don't follow man, follow God. As teachers, as leaders, as pastors, our job is not to tell you what to do. Our job is to point you to Jesus, to the one who has all the answers. That's why God's been saying, spend time with me. He's not saying, pastors, spend time with me. Teachers, leaders, spend time with me. He's like, people, spend time with me. Why does it say? I mean, God says in John 2:27, it says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you all things, and what he teaches is true and it is not a lie. So continue in what he has taught you and continue to live in Christ. He's saying, you know what? There's a time to be a disciple, and there's time, you know, when we're trying to train up. This is how you meditate on the word. This is how you spend time. This is how you hear God. This is how, you know, and that's what we're trying to teach people. We're trying to teach people, this is how you do it. But there comes a time when he's saying, I am your teacher. What he's saying here, he's like, you know what? Earthly teachers can only take you so far, but my Holy Spirit can take you into the things that you have never heard. No eye has seen and no ear has heard what the Lord has for us. But Holy Spirit does. And Holy Spirit wants to be our teacher. And Pastor Shannon mentioned about man's knowledge and going to Bible college. You know, I did not go to Bible college. Okay, I'm an ordained minister, and I did take Bible classes through the Assembly of God. I guess it was a college, but I didn't actually go to a physical building to go to college. It was through what's called Global University. And it was grueling for me, let me tell you. I thought, really, God, call somebody else, because I am so uneducated and this is a bad thing. This is very bad. but he would not let me go, so I did it. But anyway, it doesn't matter what I learned through those textbooks. It doesn't matter. What matters is, did I take what I learned, which is all pointing to Jesus and walking with Jesus and hearing from Jesus and walking in his word? That's what the whole thing was all about. Hearing what he's got to say and doing it. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past a log in your own eye, hypocrite? First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then perhaps you can see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes. We need to be more tolerant of other people's sin. If you want people to be tolerant of you, and I'm not saying tolerant in the way of excusing it, but tolerant in the way that they're not, like, you know, condemning you, but walking in love. If God tells, how we're tolerant is we pray for them. You see somebody that you think is sinning, pray for them. And then if God tells you to go to them, then you go to them in love, but not pointing fingers. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. To bring the kind of fruit God wants us, we need God to radically change us. And that really is just a needing of God to change us. That's the only way that we can live the word. We cannot do it on our own. We can't determine, I'm going to do this. That's good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it in the flesh. I'm going to try. And over again, we're going to fail. But when we say, God, change my heart. Help me to do this. I need you. Tell him you're needy. It's okay. In the world, needy's not good. In God, needy is a very good thing. It's okay. We need a radical change in our hearts to live this word out. And he knows it. He knows it. So, but why do you call me? This is like a key that I have learned. And I'm still learning and still trying. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat violently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat again, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I'm telling you to do? He's like, you've got to do what I'm telling you to do. That's how we walk with God. We spend time with him, and he tells us to do something, and we do it. We are accountable for what we hear and what we read. We're accountable for what we know. Once we know it, we're accountable. You know, once they preach it or teach it, and we know the truth, then we have to start living the truth. Ask God, help us to live the truth. So that's all I have. I'm within my time. Praise God. I got it done. Okay, so I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to just pray, and then Pastor Shannon, if you want to come up and do something. Father God, we just thank you for your word tonight, oh God. And God, we so need you. We are people in need, and we need you, oh God, and we need you every moment of our day, oh God. And God, I just pray, God, that you would woo each one of us, oh God. You say, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And God, we know that the messages have been saying, come to me. And you're calling to us to come to you, to sit at your feet, oh God. That, Lord, that you would pour your wisdom in us, oh God. And so, Father God, we ask for that. God, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, oh God. And Father God, I just pray that we come, move from the place of being just a learner to God being an apostle, being an ambassador, doing the works of God in this community and in this nation and throughout the world, oh God. And God, we thank you for that. We thank you that we're your child, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit in us. And we love you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.